Hi, hello. Welcome to Season 5 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. We talk about money, mental health, relationships, the creative process itself, and everything in between. This season specifically focuses on creativity within the realm of environmental conservation and social public art. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne. Hannah Spencer does all of our design and branding, and Lonnie Webb runs our Instagram and makes many of our visuals. Big thanks to Jeffrey Silverstein, who was a guest on our last season, for letting us use his song, Given the Light, this season's intro music. Hope you all dig it. Hello. Welcome to the last episode of Season 5 of The Process. Couldn't think of a better way to close out the season than with the then executive director of Elsewhere Studios. And if you're just now tuning in, this entire season was recorded at Elsewhere. This episode's with Karen Good, who was running the show when I was there. She has since stepped down, and my friend Carolina Porras, who was a program manager there at the time, has taken on the role of executive director. Since stepping away from that position, Karen has been spending a lot of time in the garden and orchard and making pots and spending quality time as grandma and, of course, making an effort to take some downtime before jumping into new commitments. In this episode, she explains how the residency program works, where they get funding, and how it came to be, and how they purchased a property in a really old home in Paonia that rumor has it Terrence McKenna lived in at some point. You'll hear another fun fact about the room that I was staying in that I did not know until we recorded this on my last day there. She also describes a program that was happening when I was there that John Melvin, who we've published an episode with, and Anna McLeod were involved with. She also tells us a little bit more about the community and the creative community there and how it thrives. Paonia was, I know I've already said it, but it's a magical place with really special people. And if you ever get to that part of the world in Western Colorado, I highly suggest stopping through and saying hi to the Elsewhere folks. I know this season was a bit different. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you have any questions about it, definitely reach out. We'd love to chat. If this is a topic that you found interesting, let us know. If you didn't, let us know. You can reach us anytime at hi@theprocess.co or on Instagram @theprocess.co. And if you did dig it, we would very much so appreciate a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify to be notified when the next season goes live, which is very different from this season. It's all interviews with folks in the Bay Area, out in California, a lot of visual artists, some musicians, some writers, some magazine publishers, definitely a lot of photographers, about how they're making life their work. And it's a very special season to my heart. And I hope you keep in touch and follow along and to be notified when that goes live. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we love you and appreciate you. I'll check you all later. See ya.
My name is Karen Good, and I am the executive director at Elsewhere. I came here in 2010 and helped get the formal residency program going. My daughter, Willow, and her partner, Maya, at the time had bought this building and had spent a couple of years renovating it into the space it is now, with the idea of doing arts community. A lot of volunteers from the community helped to do the renovation, and a lot of arts happened here during that time.
Yeah, everyone was like living in a bus in the backyard, right?
Yeah, Willow and Maya were living in a bus in the backyard during construction and pretty much did everything. It was all new plumbing, electrical, radiant floor heat, siding, stucco, roof. Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
What was this building before? I don't think
it has. Originally, it was built in 1906, and it was its original use was as electric generating. Mm. There was a water wheel in the Paonia ditch that runs past the building, and it ran generators in the building to produce electricity.
Wow.
So that was its first incarnation. And then since then, it's been apartments and offices, and a lot of people have lived here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an old building.
Many people that come to visit say, oh, yeah, I lived here in 72 or...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any, like, stories of spirits or anything?
Well, there's the myth that Terence McKenna spent time here. Terence McKenna grew up in Paonia.
I don't know who that is.
He's kind of a psychedelic mushroom guru,
okay,
pretty well known, and that he opened a vortex in the basement. And
oh, man.
Yeah. So when Willow moved in, they brought in some spirit workers to do some clearing, and also more recently did some clearing in the gingerbread house where people were hearing things in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow.
So
wow,
definitely a lot of energy here.
Yeah, interesting. How did you become the executive director?
Well, I came here from 7 years teaching and as art department chair at the Orm School in Arizona, which is a private high school. So I was pretty immersed in the arts. I've been a potter all my life also. And I had been trying to get the Orm School to bring on artist residents to help, because there was very little money to help broaden the palette of arts that were offered there. And it never happened, but I did a lot of research into it. So I was excited about getting that started here, and spent the first year actually doing the renovation in the basement myself, and then living here and putting together a program, getting a lot of support from Alliance of Artists Communities, which is an umbrella organization out of Rhode Island for artist residency programs in the States and internationally. Yeah. And they have a really good training program, lots of documents that they share with people that are emerging programs, so that was really helpful. So putting together all that, the applications and contracts and handbooks for residents and all of that stuff. And so we were a private organization until 2014, and at that time became a nonprofit, put together a board and became a nonprofit. So we've been operating as a nonprofit for the last 4 years.
What has that, I feel like this is a stupid question, but what has that allowed you to do?
To be able to accept tax-deductible donations, to be able to write grants that are only offered to nonprofits. And I think to broaden our outreach to the community in terms of bringing board members that have input into the organization and the structure and operations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. How's Elsewhere funded? Like, what are some of the funding sources?
Well, the main source right now is residency fees that the artists pay that come here. And they vary from $600 to $850 a month, and that includes studio and living space, utilities, Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And then we do fundraisers. We have grant money. We are trying to broaden our donor base through doing an annual donor campaign. The residency fees cover about a half of our costs, so the rest we have to raise. And we also still have a lot of volunteer. The first 4 years or so were entirely volunteer. I still put in a lot of volunteer hours.
Yeah.
So in order to be sustainable, we really have to figure out other ways of funding. And I think that's a challenge right now, is which is true for most nonprofits. And because we bring artists in from all over the world, I think we should be reaching out further for funding sources for philanthropists that want to support the work of emerging and established artists through residency programs. So
yeah, it'd be interesting if almost like someone could sponsor an artist in their country to like come here and do their thing.
Yeah. We're also starting to look at relationships with universities, where they could fund one of their grad students, for instance, to come and be able to work, or as a reward to faculty or things like that. So we're working right now with the possibility of one university offering credit to students for being able to come, which would be an incentive. Exploring different options.
It'd be cool to have like a summer teacher's residency here, for sure.
Yeah. And then we're also looking at expanding the idea of doing themed residencies, and certainly the Art and Society project was in that area. And there are a lot of residencies that will do a themed residency around water or immigration or things like that. And that's really appealing to me, because then all of the artists that would be coming for that period of time would be working on similar issues and could really support each other.
Yeah. Carolina and I were also saying how some, depending on the themes, can attract more diversity too.
Exactly.
The topics, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also it's easier to, for lack of a better term, market or like promote it, get it out there.
Yeah.
Makes the audience easier to define, for sure.
Yeah.
So what was the impetus, aside from those, a theme, making it easier to get grant money and stuff like that, for the society, Art and Society specifically?
Well, it was a request for proposals from a collaborative group in Denver. So Colorado Creative Industries, Bonfi Stanton, and Himera Foundation got together with an interest in doing, supporting socially engaged art. So they put out a request for proposals for groups or individuals that had projects in mind in that area. And this was a new thing for us. And living in this valley that has so much agriculture, such an emphasis on clean air and water, and also changes happening economically with coal mining leaving, that there's a lot of talk about where we go from here and visioning that. There's definitely some friction between different sectors of the community about...
It's a bit divisive.
Yeah.
And divided.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really felt like there was a need for getting people together to talk, because previously the Orton Family Foundation had done a project called Heart and Soul Here, which was a 2-year project collecting stories and getting different sectors together to talk about values. And 5 values were identified that everyone really agreed on. And so the idea for the Art and Society project, Inspired Art at Work, was to be based on those values that had already been identified, and trying to get these different sides, different sectors together in dialogue about what they want to see happen here. And just seeing the need for that kind of communication. So that was kind of the impetus for the whole thing. And the idea of being able to do that through the arts was something that really hasn't happened. And it's a different kind of engagement that seemed like it could bring people together. So that was really exciting. And we did a big marketing campaign to get artists. We had, I think, 42 artists that applied from all over the world. And we chose 4 projects out of that, 2 local projects and 2 from visiting artists, that would happen this summer, July and August, and then culminate in the symposium.
I'm going to ask about some of your takeaways, personal, but what was it about these two, about Anna and John, that stuck out for this project?
I think a big thing was their experience with this kind of work, that they both have traveled all over the world working in different communities, doing social engagement, and so they had that experience to bring to the table. They also had different areas. Anna's focus is water, and she's done this project, Water Conservations, for I think the last 14 years all over the world. And because the water here is so important, and we have concerns about oil and gas development and possibly compromising the water. And then also with the droughts, water has become a real big issue. So having her be able to bring her past experience here and have those conversations was really important.
Yeah.
Totally. And then John's background with environment and consumerism and ecology also seemed really pertinent to a lot of the things that we were looking at in terms of future development and organic farming and other kinds of farming that are happening here, again, to bring people to the table.
Yeah. They're good at getting out there and talking to people, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
What were some of your personal takeaways or reflections from Inspired or results that you feel everyone together achieved?
I think definitely education. There was a lot of really amazing speakers that came, and the projects themselves really educated people about a lot of the current issues around climate change that we're now dealing with. Awareness around that and how our lifestyles make a difference in it, and our lifestyles and our working together can make a difference in mitigating the impacts of it. A takeaway that it's not easy bringing people together to talk, and that it takes time. The importance of being able to build trust, and certainly communication and listening skills, and building respect for different opinions.
Yeah.
So if we were to continue the project, those are areas that need to be developed or need to be continued to be developed.
I was going to ask what you, if there's anything you'd do differently. Sounds like a big thing is time.
I think time is huge. And yeah, just realizing how much time it takes. We also had 5 different partner organizations on this project: Western Slope Conservation Center, SEI, Citizens for Healthy Community, Colorado Farm and Food Alliance, and North Fork Valley Creative Coalition. And they were helpful in meeting and planning and sending out information to their constituents about the project. I think if I were to do this again, I'd probably not have quite so many project partners and try to engage them a little bit more from the beginning in really making commitments around the doing part of it and possibly narrowing the focus a little bit. It was really wide open, you know, energy, jobs, environment, water. Everything. And they're all interconnected, so I don't regret that. But I'm thinking that it may be easier to get people together in dialogue just picking one area, maybe just doing agriculture, where there's definitely consensus on the importance of having water and clean water and clean air and healthy soil. So there's a real basis to begin with in building some relationships and dialogue between people that tend to feel like they're in different camps for some reason.
Yeah.
So,
Totally.
Yeah.
Am I right in thinking there was some resistance to Elsewhere when it first opened up?
I think Elsewhere had a reputation at the beginning because there were so many people involved in the building and renovation that it was kind of a party place. Mm. And that's taken a while to break down and to get the community to understand that this is really a professional organization bringing in people that are really serious about their work. Mm-hmm. And we've really done a lot of community outreach with at least 2 events a month that are open to the public. We do a meet and greet at the beginning of the month where the incoming artists share about their past work and about their intentions for their time here. And then towards the end of the month, we do another event where they share things they've been working on. So an exhibit or readings or performance, whatever it might be. Mm. And then often the artists will teach workshops or classes or give talks about things. So it's really, I think, been an important asset to the community in bringing the contemporary art world to this small town and really stimulating local artists, giving them ideas, and they're able to have interactions with the incoming artists. And it's been been very strong.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed doing a workshop. Uh-huh. I wish I had time to do another.
Yeah.
It was good to get that.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Okay. I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to, a lot of time is going to open up for me now that this big project is over.
Yeah. So how long, you were a teacher before art chair, obviously. How long have you been in education?
24 years. Okay. Yeah.
What made you?
I taught elementary school for most of that time and then went into middle school and high school towards the end. I've just always loved working with kids.
Yeah. Have you always taught art, or did you teach other?
No, I taught every subject.
Yeah, especially middle school or elementary school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
feel like it's, the kids are so important. That's, you know, they're the coming generation, and it's very impactful.
Yeah, for sure. And important for people who care to be teaching them.
Yeah.
Do you still teach?
No.
No. Is this, sometimes when you think about your role here, are you surprised that this is what you're doing at this point?
No, I've really loved it. I've really loved putting together the program. I'm just so inspired by the artists that come and the work that they do and their excitement about their time here. I think pretty much 100% of people that have come have had positive experiences, and they'll write back and say, oh, because of my time there, I've made these changes in my life, and I'm so thankful, and it feels really good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What does your day-to-day kind of look like as executive director, specifically? Like, what are some of the weekly goals and roles?
Well, just overseeing things. Carolina is now our program manager, and she does an awesome job of just running the basic day-to-day things. My focus now has been grant writing, outreach in terms of getting new donors, and then looking at new projects and programs and doing that with Carolina. So often grant money is not available just for operating expenses. It has to be for a program or project. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works to just use the residency program, since that's what we do, but sometimes they want additional things. So trying to look at what directions we want to develop, and the thematic residencies is one area for sure that we're looking at now. Yeah. We're also looking at possible expansions into other spaces. We're doing a test period with a space that's between Paonia and Hotchkiss, Aeolian Acres, that has space for three artists. So we are going to be managing that, doing the advertising and contracts with artists, and then part of the residency fees will go to us for that administrative work. So we're going to see how that works, if it's more work than the compensation.
Right, yeah.
So just trying to figure out different ways to make it work better.
Has that kind of been a theme with running a residency program, that it's more work than the compensation?
Well, for sure,
yeah.
Because we just don't have the funding.
Right.
So it's really been a labor of love, pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think we're to a point now where it can really stand on its own feet with a little bit of assistance. Mm. Yeah. And I'm actually looking at, I don't know if you want this on there, but personally, I'm looking at pulling out over the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
And still offering help, but I really feel like it's time for the board to be able to step in and make it be sustainable.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it doesn't really work for me to work for almost nothing.
Right.
It doesn't aid the longevity of the organization. So we're looking at that now.
Yeah, I need to figure out what to do. You can't be doing this forever.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. That's fair.
Yeah, so that's, and we also have new board members. We've had a lot of shifting in the board structure, or the board membership, I guess. So we have a lot of new board members now, and we're looking for more. And I feel like it's kind of an exciting time, because it's kind of wide open how it could be developed.
Yeah. Do you still make time for the pottery?
No, that's one frustration. We started a pottery co-op in Paonia. I used to have my studio in the basement here.
Yeah,
but it was difficult. I always felt like I was in someone else's space if I used it.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have a studio that's about 10 blocks from here, and there's 5 different members. And so it's on a membership basis. I guess there's 4 owner people, and then we are open to memberships, and that's available to the elsewhere artists that come.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Something I really want to learn, or at least try to learn.
And one of our visions all along has been to have different studios that would be equipped that locals could use as well as visiting artists.
Yeah.
So I think that's one direction we'd like to see developed, have a print shop, fiber art shop, dark room, things like that.
Yeah. Let's switch to Paonia a bit and what it's like being, you know, it's when you come here, you quickly realize if you don't already know, it's like a very creative community. There's definitely an artist community. But what's it really like being an artist here, do you think? Either based on your own experience or the ones you hear through here.
Well, my experience is that it is an incredibly creative community in all different areas. There's many published writers, there's amazing musician composers, there's amazing visual artists, there's incredible value-added food things going on with all of the agriculture and vineyards and distilleries. The theater has great films and lots of musicals and events.
Yeah.
So it's, I know one of the first artists that came said that there were almost too many muses in Paonia, that it was hard to stay focused because there were so many great things going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. When I moved here, I wanted to do everything and I was out every night and I was had a bad case of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And I was just having come from a really remote part of Arizona where I had to drive more than an hour to do anything.
Mm.
So there's definitely a lot of creativity. There's a lot of the artists that come here haven't had experiences in rural areas. Mm-hmm. They come from cities, and so the whole, both the natural beauty of the landscape and then the opportunities to go to farms and vineyards and things like that is really powerful for them. And then just kind of the lifestyle of people that live here. A lot of people live pretty simply. They do a lot of bartering. They trade for food, or they will work on a farm a few hours in exchange for vegetables, things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities to live pretty simply here.
I feel like that's what I'd have to do to live here. And also the groceries are expensive.
Yeah.
Because it's a small town.
That's right.
In the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the smallest town I've ever spent time in, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think before this, maybe 20,000 was the smallest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing how much is here for a town of 1,500.
Yeah. It doesn't really feel, the actual size is small, but it doesn't feel that small.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's like there's more people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're here for a while?
Yeah, this is home.
This is home?
Yeah. I bought property with my daughter and am building a house. And yeah, this is it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Before I ask you 3 questions to ask everyone, is there anything you want to say about this region and arts and some of the environmental issues? Anything you envision for the future, whether it be through elsewhere just for the community?
Well, I think it's great living in Colorado because Colorado has designated the arts as an economic driver.
Mm-hmm.
So Colorado Creative Industries, which used to be Colorado Arts Council, I guess, they're under the Office of Economic Development.
Mm.
And they have done research and say that the arts are the 4th largest economic sector in the state.
Oh, wow.
And because of that, they have a lot of programs to help the arts and to help market and promote the arts, which is really great. So the Art and Society Project was one example of that. They also have a very strong Arts District program, and Peony is designated as one of the Arts District, which was took a lot of work to get that done and helped really network the local artists and arts organizations. And we're also part of an arts corridor, which the state is promoting, which ties together several of the different creative districts. So that's really important. And it's been good to be able to have that information and languaging to talk to people locally who maybe don't see the arts as being important, you know, to get that more information about that awareness.
Yeah, there may be some old timers who actually, these darn hippies, and don't realize they're actually serving an important role in the economy.
Right. Yeah. I went to city council to get a letter of support for an NEA grant that I wrote, mm-hmm. and there was a couple people in the audience that stood up and said, I don't think you should give a letter of support. My tax dollars should not be going to the arts, which are just, you know, somebody's hobby. Yeah. And so it's like, it is, you know, it's really important to have people understand that the clothes they wear, the books they read, the music they listen to, the car they drive, those are all things that came from artists. Yeah. You know, it's not just the paintings on the wall.
Yeah.
One of the big projects for the Inspired Art at Work project was dance, movement out in nature. Mm. And there were a lot, I think they did 5 different movement pieces in different places. Mm. And we're really excited about continuing that to get people outside and in their bodies and experiencing the environment in different ways. Anna's work with water, there's a lot of people really interested in that now, in recapturing rainwater, and that kind of fits with all the permaculture stuff and different things like that. So definitely there's a lot of ways for the movement to continue with arts and environment.
Cool. So 3 questions I ask everyone. One is, what is the word process mean to you?
Process?
Yep.
Process is our living. It's what gets us to where we're going, and I don't know if we ever get there, so the process is important.
If you had to think of one piece of wisdom or advice to someone, let's say seeking a career in arts administration, what would it be?
Find something that you're passionate about that really feeds you.
And then finally, what's something that you're excited about today?
It probably doesn't sound very exciting. We're doing debriefing today from this whole project. So I'm really looking forward to just having those discussions and seeing what the takeaways were for other people and recommendations for future projects and, you know, lessons learned, because that's the process.
Yeah. Also puts a nice little ribbon on it.
Yeah.
Nice little bow.
Yeah.
You can let it. I'm sure there's still work to it, but
yeah, there's still a lot of things, but... Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you.